The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Boom! Welcome back to the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies. We got our open back. I feel at home. Whew, that was so weird last week. I didn't know what the fuck. So I am joined by Alex Trias, Matt the Beard Bischoff, and holy moly, Matt Bischoff, this is what we were talking about. What do you think of the challenge now?
Dude, first of all, I'm fucking kind of like, the first time I'm like, yes, I'm going to watch the challenge. All these survivors are going to be on. Yeah. And it was like, fuck, dude. But I tell you what, this shit is fucking gnarly. And no joke, intense. I was telling my son, he was playing guitar on the patio. I was outside watching out there. It's a beautiful night. And he's playing guitar. And I'm like, dude, look at this fucking challenge they're doing, dude. Like, it's so gnarly. And it's like, I want to be doing these challenges, dude.
Yeah, they're hard. And it's, I mean, like, on Survivor, it's the daily mission this week. What was it? Undercover Comms. Yeah. That is the same exact challenge as someone putting coconuts in your fucking trough to eliminate you on Survivor. Essentially, right. That's right. All it really is, but it's not.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just visually and aesthetically, it's like holy smokes. I mean, you know, you have people screaming, no, you know. Whereas, oh, yeah. You know, if you're doing fucking stupid, you know, turn the fucking true false thing and you get a fucking coconut in your thing, you're gone. I mean, it is the exact same concept.
It is.
But yeah, just yeah. Turn it up to fucking 11.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be up there not knowing when the hell my carabiner was going to let my ass loose and fall 30 feet into the fucking ocean. You know what I mean?
I'd rather know about my carabiner there than my carabiner yeah. in the lair, but we'll get yeah. there.
So, yeah, I feel like the thrill of it would be driving you though.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, I mean, the other thing I like, man, is like TJ Lavin as a host, man. obviously, Jeff Probst, great covering Australian Survivor coverage on our Patreon.
Jonathan Lapaglia.
Jonathan, amazing. Yeah, he's awesome. But man, I always know TJ from BMX.
Yeah.
But seeing him as a host and like, he's a badass dude, and I think he adds a cool factor to the show.
He does.
I don't think TJ like involves himself so much into it to where it's like lame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They love him. I mean, like it was really, really evident. I mean, like it's evident every season, mm-hmm. but it was so evident on All Stars because you had so many people that had been on so many seasons. They came back and like as happy as they were to see each other, they were happy to see TJ. Mm-hmm. And he does a deal every season where you're above water, like, you know, like hooked up, and he does a trivia thing. And when you get enough wrong, you drop. And he is the happiest person on the, like, if Jeff Probst was given this power, I would love to see the maniacal laugh that he would have, but I don't know if it could, like, TJ, I mean, like, he relishes, like, he is praying that you get the answer wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every single person.
Well, there's something to be said, dude, about action sports, BMX, skateboard, motocross, etc. Like, I've been to Travis Pastrana's house. Travis Pastrana's famous for the Nitro Circus and all his antics. And that fucking guy, when I went to his house, and we were riding his backyard on these little motorcycles and shit. He was just, he was begging and praying for someone to eat shit and get hurt. So like, that's kind of what TJ is like.
It's the BMX mentality.
It is. Yeah. And there's a certain mentality about it. But I find like the challenge, like watching tonight, people's gameplay, there's so much stupidity and angst and fear and confusion
yep.
that I'm just like, what in the hell? Like the Huey, I don't see how this Huey guy gets along in anything he does. Because tonight in the fucking challenge, the first one, he's like, "Oh, I don't want to be. I'm so terrified of heights." He's
what was he yelling? Out. Was it "Let me down"? It was something
he,
like
he was literally yelling, "Like I'm quitting. I am quitting. Let me down."
Yeah, it's like he's obviously afraid of heights, which I love it.
And I love see, here's the deal. So, like, the two best people when it comes to puzzles and codes and stuff like that is CT and Ashley. Like, bar none, one and two. Like, they own that part. Like CT is a fucking beast. But in addition, he's just really good at those little mental things like that. And Ashley Millionaire Mitchell, you know, that's her claim to fame. I mean, like she's beautiful, but in addition to that, she's really great. So it's like, sorry, Huey, no matter how scared you are of heights, this is where I'm best used. And if we're going to do fucking anything, it's me on land. Sorry.
Yeah. Just deal with it. But he's like right. Crying. Like, and I do, someone in our chat is like, we need Huey every season, which I think is funny because as a viewer of the challenge for the first time, I think he's good TV because I'm like, dude, you're about ready to give up. Like you were doing the same thing last episode when you're getting ready to jump off a 30-foot cliff. This motherfucker is scared to death, but there's no getting out of it. Like this is what you signed up for, dude.
I don't think he knew what he signed up for.
I don't think he did either. I think, what show is he on?
Big Brother UK, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and their challenges are 5-piece puzzles, and it still takes some people, you know, 30 minutes.
But yeah, very entertaining episode for sure.
Yeah. So the episode starts with previously on the challenge. It's the bomb, baby. So we had the top two teams. They got to do the reenactment of the finish. I thought it was cool. I'm really glad that they're having fun with this previously on. I think it's cool. You know, didn't Survivor stop doing previously on last season?
Yeah, I think they just went straight into the episode. They didn't have time for a previously on or even to show the intro. They're just like, yep, day four.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, like, do not take for granted that everyone watches every second of everything. Like Alex and I watch wrestling and, you know, on Wednesday nights while this is happening, AEW wrestling is on. And there's a lot of stuff that they'll make reference to that happens on their YouTube show. They have a YouTube show called Dark or Dark Elevation. And then they have like a little like fun show, the Young Bucks deal. I was on an episode.
Oh, Being the Elite.
Being the Elite. And they make references to that. And it's just like, don't take for granted that we watch, like, I barely have time to watch the TV that I want to watch. Don't expect me to watch the internet. Like, you know, this shoulder content is great. And a lot of people appreciate it. And if I didn't work, you know, 18 jobs, do 28 podcasts and had, you know, two kids, I too would probably watch the shoulder content, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that's me who loves reality television and loves wrestling. So just imagine, you know, a common television viewer that does, you know, it's just like they don't know that Survivor comes on Wednesday nights at 8:00. You know, and so they you know, and you know, maybe they don't have it programmed for season pass on their DVR. And so, you know, it's just like, oh man, on Thursday it's like, I totally forgot Survivor. Oh, I'll watch it next week. And then you just start the episode cold. It's just like, what the fuck happened last week?
Yeah, you want to know who got voted out, where the alliances lie. They tell you enough on the previously ons to give the casual viewer a basic synopsis of what happened the week before. And even if you haven't watched 2 weeks before, you can kind of be like, oh, I'm putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
And you have an enjoyable Wednesday night or whenever the show is to watch the next episode. So I feel like
you lose viewers.
You do. It's imperative, dude.
Like someone turns in that missed a week or missed 2 weeks or you know, or starting on episode three is like, well, fuck, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, right. especially with something like the challenge where it's not easily accessible because for whatever reason, they have this deal where they're not putting the current season on Paramount Plus the next day. They're like, oh, if you want to watch it, you have to have cable, watch it live. Maybe you can watch it the next day when they upload it on MTV's website. But then it's just, there's all these roadblocks to watch it. Mm-hmm.
So I love it. And I loved, I mean, like, you know, Survivor starts season 41. 41 freaking seasons. September 22nd, we're going to be at Play Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. Get your tickets now at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. You can join us live watching the Survivor premiere. But, like, as a fan of Survivor, and as I say, you know, I've watched every season. You know, I love the show. I love hearing the beginning of the episode, Jeff Probst saying, previously on Survivor.
I do.
That's a cool thing. So, but I love what the challenge does with them having fun with it. So, I mean, like, you know, TJ can say it all day long, and it's okay, but there's just the cadence and just the nostalgia of what Probst has done on Survivor, and I think the challenge is a different animal, and I like that animal.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But they're back in the house, and Corey L. is tired of the lair.
Honestly, this gave me bad feelings right from the start of the episode. Because, like, there's certain stages of the game where if you get one of the first confessionals, you're going home. So he because they make him the focal point of saying, like, oh, I just need to get over this hump. We're so close. I'm like, you ain't getting over that hump, buddy. You ain't getting over it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next we see Logan chatting up Big T, and I am with you, Logan. I would be chatting. Well, actually, it's kind of more Big T chatting up Logan, but if I'm Logan, I'm all in Big T.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Logan, he reminds me of this old BMX friend of mine named Corey Bowen. He was an Australian BMXer, got the long hair, you know, the beautiful eyes, and, he just seems like a fucking cool dude, and Big T is all about it. And I'm liking the two of them. I don't know what's going to go on with them in the future of the game, but I like.
Well, I think obviously something, because we saw that scene.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people that when you see something, no matter how small, it usually means something.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. MTV has so many people in there and so much going on. Like, they're not going to put something in that doesn't pay off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Logan explains that his strategy is to be a floater. I do not like that, Logan. Yeah, man. Step up. Floaters suck. We then learn that Josh and Fessy are tight, and nothing can drive a wedge between them. They're all good.
Nothing. Nothing can stop it.
And all Josh wants to do more than life itself is to protect the Big Brother Alliance. So much so that MTV gives us a graphic of who the Big Brother Alliance is.
But, like, this is the beginning of an episode where, like, You're going to be hearing me saying this a lot, and it is weird to say it for the challenge of this. Josh is right. He's right very strongly here. Like, he is definitely the glue of that group. Like,
yes,
the only thing that's protecting Amber or at this point from Fessy and Casey and everything.
I don't watch Big Brother. Like, I know, like, I have watched some Big Brother.
Yeah.
And I also am familiar with, like,
you've watched Josh. Two seasons now.
Yeah, I know who Josh is and stuff. Yeah. But he seemed extremely hardcore, more than any. Like, so I guess it's Amber, Fessy, Josh, and what's that girl's name?
Casey.
Yeah, so I met them at a bunch of different charity events. But, yeah, Josh has been super intense throughout this whole episode tonight about the Big Brother Alliance. And the one thing I find interesting is there's other Big Brothers from other countries on this season, but the Big Brother Alliance
they are not invited.
Yeah, and that seems the same way with the Survivor contestants on this season. It's like no Survivor kind of grouping.
I feel if I was out there, that's the Survivor Alliance would have been like, it would have been like, hey, we're eight strong. We all did something that's fucking much more difficult than what these people did. I mean, you know, these challenges are hardcore and all that, they ain't starving. They're going to fucking clubs.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
So there is that bond. And
well, think about it, Fair Play. If we were out there, let's say me and you were playing the challenge, and then people from Australian Survivor were on there, like Luke Tokey and Henry or who, we would be bringing everyone in and be like, look, dude, we're fucking sticking together.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, strength in numbers. It's interesting why the Big Brother Alliance did not bring more Big Brothers into the mix.
But Emmy killed whatever potential there was for a Survivor Alliance on day dot when she rats out Michaela. Yeah.
There was already distrust in the U.S. Survivor group anyway.
Oh, well, yeah, Michaela came in before Day Dot going, I'm fucking going after Tommy and Michelle.
Right. And, right. So, Matt, to answer your question, what I think it is with the challenge mentality, it isn't so much like, oh, we're all different, survivors or different Big Brother people. They see each other as you're either an OG challenge, so, real world, road rules, or straight into the challenge. You are Big Brother. You are a Survivor, or you're a random U.S. show, or you're a random international. Those are the buckets. It doesn't matter if you were international Survivor, you're an international. That's what you're labeled as.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a hierarchy, obviously, then.
Yeah.
Amongst the game, obviously, there's the veterans, there's the newbies, the rookies, I guess you call them. But yeah, that's pretty fascinating. So is there any benefit of bringing in the internationals versus keeping it U.S. versus international?
If I were out there, if you and I were out there, we would be working with the other survivors, or at least attempting to. And if that doesn't work, then it's just like, all right, well, you guys are done.
Right.
I think there's a benefit to work with anyone that you're able to pull to gain a majority and have control over the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I take that back. I would go one step further. I would have the CBS alliance. I would align with Big Brother and the other
you do the CBS alliance and get out 12 dates of Christmas people and the circle.
You get out the MTV vets.
Yeah. That makes
sense. There's more Survivor and Big Brother internationally. And you pull those all together. There's more of them than there is of the MTV veterans.
And
MTV veterans win so many times. So it's just like, if you're all together against them, boom, they're out of their own show. This is their show.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, Fair Play. I think that anyone listening to this podcast that's going on a future challenge, please do that. Just stick together, because a lot of people don't fucking do that, and they waste a great opportunity to freaking dominate a game.
Yeah, and guess who's going to be at the end?
The MTV people.
Yeah, well, I mean, the MTV people with now the Big Brother people, because they're smart enough to align with the MTV people.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens now.
But we'll see. I mean, yeah. So Josh wants to protect the Big Brother Alliance, and Betsy's like, So next we see Huey training with CT. it's as funny as that was, Huey can jump rope better than me.
Well, I think I saw online people were saying that he's a boxer.
A boxer, yeah, because those are boxer feet.
Yeah, it was he was very light on his feet, and I think that was sort of what CT was saying. It's don't underestimate this kid. He's this loud, obnoxious, goofball, but it's just he can do his stuff.
There's something there. Yeah. So, I mean, he turned into Superman once he got in the water last week. And then, as I said, just that jumping rope, pay attention. Matt Bischoff, you're a former pro BMX athlete. You're an athlete. Can you jump rope like that?
Fuck no. I would be so out of shape and fuck jump roping. And what I want to say is that Bosu ball, or that medicine ball deal that they're on, where he's oh shit. I was fuck, I wish I had one of those, because I was like, you know what? That's probably harder than it looks, just to kneel on the middle of a medicine ball and keep your balance like that. You know what I mean?
I think I'm buying one.
Yeah, dude.
I have one.
Yeah. I'm like,
what do you do with it, Alex? Do you bounce it?
Yeah, I throw it.
Can you balance like that?
I used to be able to balance like that when I would train when I was in track in high school. I haven't tried anything like that in a while. I could probably do it like on the Bosu balls, which are like a half of one, but like that would
Bosu balls. I have a Bosu ball. If I had the room in this podcast room, I would give you a audio visual of that. But I think, man, like the medicine ball balancing thing, I thought it was funny as shit watching Huey try to do it. But yeah, Huey, even though he doesn't seem like Mr. Workout guy, I think the dude can hold his own
in
certain competitions.
So next, we have Devin informing us that the rookie teams, as he refers to as the R&Rs, we're down to one. And if everyone sticks with the plan, an R&R is going in, and then the bloodshed starts next week. That's an easy plan.
Yeah. Hey, so, absolutely. It's like just keep with like pulling off the inevitable of going at each other. And but I think you had it mistaken. It's not Devin. It's not Kyle. It's Dial. We're talking about it.
Oh, sorry, Dial. But Dial does have the best conversation of the episode. In which Devin's complaining, he goes, man, Corey's always talking about taking care of his family, man. Fuck that. And Kyle's like, hey, I got a kid coming. I'm too taking care. And he's just like, yeah, that's why this is the last year we're working together. Yeah. And he was like, so, you know, will you be the godfather of my child? And he's like, no. like, do I love Devin more every second, or is that number one draft pick, Devin? By the way,
number one draft pick.
Yes. So we then see a conversation with Amber B and Casey, in which Amber B is so happy she is a firm member of the Big Brother Alliance, possibly at the top if she had to guess her place in the alliance. And no, even Casey, who is a sweetheart, is like, no, she's at the bottom, like, and barely at the bottom.
That just confuses me so much, because like I look at Casey and like I know people's thoughts on Casey and they think she's boring, whatever, but I'm like, without a doubt, she is a good player and she knows what she's doing. And it just confounds me, like, why are you going confessional saying this stuff? Because you just got in trouble for you and Fessy saying this stuff about Amber after the fact. She's going to see this again. She obviously knows now at the end of this episode.
Yeah, this is done.
I'm like, why don't you? It's a number. You're early in this game. Why are you saying like, yeah, I'm not going to trust her at all? I'm like, is it just because she won? Like, is that why? Like,
it doesn't give a reason. It makes no sense. I mean, like, they kind of burned her last time. And you know, and Amber watched the show and just like, you know, these motherfuckers burned me. And you know, and Amber just talked herself into thinking that, well, I think Josh had a lot. Josh is like, look, you know, I'm going to make this right. And we saw Josh did everything possible to make this right. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. Like, I mean,
you can't control dumb.
You got someone. The girl won last season. So last season, Matt, CT and Amber won.
Okay.
So they're that good.
Right.
Why don't you want her as, like, I mean, like, an alliance of four is not, it's just like, oh, we have 17 people in our alliance. I don't know if we need 18. You got three.
Right.
And you got a girl that's given you her heart and is just like, look, you know, just here it is. I'm just begging you, mm-hmm. don't stomp on. You stomped on it last time. I still won, mm-hmm. but you stomped on it.
Right.
So here you go. And they're just like, yeah, I can't wait to stomp on that heart.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I sort of feel like Casey, maybe it's just me trying to read into it now, just like find a reason. And maybe it's just like, maybe Casey's just tired of having to keep everyone together. And maybe. She's like, maybe I want to win. And whenever I've been trying to hold you guys all together, I end up, for whatever reason, not closing it out. Maybe I should be more self-interested.
Salty Paul's getting some audio hiss. That's from Matt Bischoff.
Is it?
Yes, it's always from you.
Where's the hiss coming from?
I don't know. I get a new microphone next month. You got a Patreon check coming.
I'll try to unplug.
It's always you, Matt. All right. Next is the Daily Mission. It's undercover comms, and they just announced it in front of everyone. Hey, vets! Everyone, go after Michelle and Coryell. Just everyone, in case you didn't get the bulletin, We did post it up around the house for everyone to see, but in case you missed it, everyone go after Michelle and Coryell first.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah. And the challenge begins. Huey's panicking, and it's time for Ashley to draw some blood. And Ashley's so kind to let us know, Nelson, you break my heart, I break your game. I love Ashley Millionaire Mitchell.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. She's killer. And I'm not as familiar, but watching this challenge, there's definitely a lot of people that are scared of heights and scared of just like using their body to kind of like be like Spider-Man upside down. And I just think that like, I don't know. It seems like to me, like if you're playing this show, you got to know there's going to be some gnarly shit like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I love this. And I also love the fact that some of the international people say dot, dot, dash, line, period. Like they have different terminology. So certain other people are getting confused on how to decipher the fucking code.
I would just say the words, you know.
I would too. Because if you said to me, period, slash, slash, period, I would obviously know.
My eyes would look for period, slash, slash, or period, line, line, period.
Just say something that looks like a circle and one that looks like a line. I will figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
That I think she kind of outthought herself for that.
Right.
So, but Amber and Josh win heat one. And they were going into heat two. Gabo pats Nani on the head. I feel like that should have been reversed.
It really should have, because Gabo just feels like he's just a pet.
Yeah, I don't like. I think Gabo has finally figured out that Nani might not be interested in him. Mm-hmm. I feel he's a little slow on the uptake, and it didn't happen day one. It probably didn't happen day two. I'm guessing it didn't happen day three. But whatever day we're at now, I think Gabo has figured out that he's not Nani's type. Dude. So I think, you know, in lieu of Gabo trying to make out with Nani, he's just like, oh, what do I do? And so he pats her on the head and he's like, is that what we do? So I, you know what? I'm guessing that Nani has probably patted or pet Dabo on the head a few times. And he's like, oh, this is our thing.
Yeah. Right. And
she's
right.
Like, no, this is not our thing. Oh, so maybe it can be. So, but once again, the strategist of all strategists in this house, Devin, he's just like, look, the plan is simple. You know, we got out Michelle and Coryell first, or got rid of them and their heat. That's all we needed to do. Mm-hmm. Now just a veteran team needs to win, you know, and whoever's in the fucking lead, it doesn't matter who it is. This isn't about glory. You don't like back in the day, Matt, they used to on the challenge on the dailies, they would have, they're like, you know, hey, you know, today's challenge is eliminated, you know, and the winning team gets a scooter, you know, it'd be like one, like a Razor scooter, like, you know, $58. And it's just like, fuck yeah, I want a scooter, you know, or, you know, the fucking the T-Mobile Sidekick.
Oh, dude, I have one of those fucking things.
But like, you literally see these people killing each other
for a
free fucking.
Like, oh, I remember when Trishelle came back from one of her last seasons with that fucking T-Mobile Sidekick. She was fucking happy as fuck. She's I earned this, motherfucker.
Oh, dude.
So, but no, there's no glory. There's no T-Mobile Sidekick. They're just you know, it's just. A vet needs to win this. And so whoever's doing the best, just let them keep winning. And Kyle says he didn't listen or didn't want it. Like, he explains to us what was supposed to happen, but after explaining, then explains he didn't listen.
Yeah. That guy, I seriously think he had no fucking idea what he was doing or what his choice was going to be. I really think he just fucking like randomly was like, fuck, what do I do? What do I do? And then he pulled the fucking lever of those people, not even
his best friend.
Yeah. I like, it's like, that would be like me doing a fucking thing. And it's like, you know, I'm in a fucking challenge with Mike Holloway or something on a season. And then I walk over and I pull Johnny Fairplan, Lex Vandenberg's fucking thing when I could have pulled fucking, you know, Brandon Hans and Russell Hans.
Guess what my reaction would be?
Fuck.
Very, like, very comparable to Devin's.
Yeah. You would be like, what in the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, are you serious? Like, I don't blame him for getting pissed. Like, why did he do that? I think the only answer to that is the fact that he was so fucking dumb, and maybe he's poisoned by his teeth whitening cream, that he didn't make a right decision.
There you go.
But it was fucking crazy.
Corey had a great line. Kyle's a snake. Just look at him. He does have snake look.
Yeah, he does.
I would need some more information, though, of what was happening at that moment. Because, like, at that time, based off of the edit and what we were seeing, Esther and Fessy were in the lead, not Devin. So, like, if anything else, if I knew that, I would have hit Devin just to ensure the person that was going the fastest won in Esther and Fessy. And then, like, squash the beef afterwards. Like, dude, I saw them. They were ahead of you. You said we wanted that person. But, like, obviously he wasn't thinking like that. He was being stupid. But I'm like, I don't think it was him being a snake. It was just him being dumb.
Mm-hmm. I think it was snaky in the fact. I think he just wanted to win. And I think he was like, maybe he was under the impression that the winner of the first heat would go against the second heat and it didn't matter because neither one of them were Michelle or Corey.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe he did have the selfishness of wanting to win because he's one of the few veteran teams. And if he wins, you can't break up that team and be paired up with a rookie.
Yeah. So I don't know. It didn't play well, but
no, your children are fighting now.
Yeah. So, Esther is smart, as she explains it, top 3% in the class of, 6,000.
That was a pretty, crazy statistic, man. I mean, the fact that she's that smart, that's pretty fucking smart. That's like top 1% of OnlyFans, right? You know?
Yes, it's very comparable to top 1% of OnlyFans. Speaking of which, right after we finish here, we're going to go live right after this. We're doing season 41, the Yellow Tribe cast assessment. So that as soon as this podcast ends, same network, just go back to the YouTube thing, click on that. We have the War Dog and Victoria, who maybe has an OnlyFans.
Well, speaking of OnlyFans, Johnny, don't we need to hear from our sponsor, Manscaped?
We do. I was just going to right before we went, I was just going to let you guys know that our winners are Esther and Fessy. And with that,
autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4,000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. And we're back, and we learn in a confessional that Kyle is Devin's best friend. Not that he picked him, they're just both dickheads. I have a lot of friends like that. I can relate. Hey guys. so we're at the club, and how great is it that our club music is in sync? I Want You Back. I thought we were going to get the reunion of Kyle and Devin there, but I feels like they both stood their ground until the next day.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
So, so Corey L talks to Fessy, and who's sitting there like the Godfather, and he's like, "Look, I want Huey, and Michelle wants Patina. They're they're in their perception the two weakest rookies. They haven't proven themselves. Everyone, most everyone else has gone in, so that's who they would like." So, and then we see Josh, who is usually the hothead on the challenge. Josh is there to calm Devin. Wow. What
growth?
What were we talking last season? If Josh can do this, and we see Josh lose it later, but I'm with it. I
honestly, him losing it later, I feel was completely justified.
Yeah. I'm for that. So we see that Amber B likes Jeremiah, and Jeremiah likes Amber B. So that's a good looking couple. I see their attraction. It's the next day. Devin and Kyle decide to bury the hatchet before deliberation. That's a smart move. You do not need to air your grievances during a 20-minute convo in which anyone's looking for any reason to do anything.
Right.
So on Survivor, I feel like it's a little easier to, like, when you do have that rift and not everyone else voting. You know, that riff, you can put it on two people right there, no problem, and send someone home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Totally.
So, during the deliberation, Huey reveals that he voted for himself last deliberation.
Huey is a piece of work. I mean, like, the guy is a total wild card, but that's what makes it
you
so
think?
Entertaining.
He voted for himself.
It makes it so freaking entertaining to watch, dude. It's hilarious.
Ashley's like, people go home on hinky votes. What are you doing?
I didn't think it would affect our game.
Oh, man. So Ashley can't trust Huey. We then learn that Fessy wants Amber B in. And I feel like that's just a bad read by Fessy.
Well, like, we just, like, all of us on the podcast, we just talked last episode, and we raked Tori through the coals for almost, like, doing a half measure and be like, I'm going to put Big T in. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to put a rookie. Like, you don't want to take that first shot.
Yeah.
And, like, Fessy's like, yeah, but I'm on the bottom of our list. And in my head, I feel like Josh says, like, so? We have all these rookies still.
And honestly,
that's a bad thing.
As I said, the edit could be one way and it could be completely different. But based on the edit, I feel that Amber B, with Fessy acting nice the first three episodes, that she would put Fessy above Casey just to prove her loyalty.
Well, I don't know about that, but she definitely at least...
Potentially.
She was like, at least you are Big Brother US. I will protect you how I can protect you.
Yeah, it's
like,
I mean...
It's like, does Casey not talk to Fessy? And the also back in, like, hey, I just had this conversation with Amber. She's totally with us. She can be on our bottom, but, like, she trusts you. Work on that. Like, that's all you have to say to him.
And the vibe we got from Casey was she didn't necessarily trust her, even though, you know, Amber B was pouring her heart out.
Yeah,
and letting us, the viewers, know that she meant it.
Yeah, but I'm saying if Casey's the one with the power, she's not putting Amber B in just because she doesn't trust her. She's going to put in rookies.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. So, yeah, so it's they choose they're in the lair. They choose the guys first, and you know, it's Huey, and you know, and this is based on, you know, the conversation with Coryell and what happened during the deliberation. So that one we get. Then Fessy begins his soliloquy, and Josh begs Fessy, his best friend, not to say Amber B's name.
Yeah, but like, I was taking my notes during this time, and he starts talking, and I immediately go into my notes. Why is he doing the Tory thing of half-assing, making someone feel scared, then putting in a rookie? And then, like, way the Josh was dragging, I'm like, fuck, he's actually going to fucking do it.
Yeah. So, and then Josh was trying to just cut him off before he could say the word. He's just like, if you don't say the word, it doesn't count. So, and then he's screaming and TJ checks his phone.
Oh, dude, that was fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. He just checking his Instagram in the middle of a fucking challenge, dude. It was fucking classic. Oh, I love it.
But then Dad TJ, because like a lot of these people say, like, he's basically our production like dad when we're on there. We don't want to let him down because when you let him down, it feels like you're letting down your parent. And or like your parents disappointed you. And then he's just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow. That was crazy. So as I said, I back Josh on this. I mean, as I said, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's more that we didn't see. I'm backing Josh. And we come back from the commercial after all this. Kyle is loving it.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely loving it. And also for further context, I guess it's something that will be revealed later. But Amanda tweeted during this part of the episode going, there's a reason why Fessy didn't want to put in Bettina, and then it was just like dot, dot, dot.
Oh. Okay. Well, there you go.
So he's like, oh, okay. So I'll get my revenge instead.
Yep. So Amber B is the choice, and Amber B proclaims Fessy is still messy. Which is a recurring theme of Fessy on the challenge. So we get the confessionals between both pairs before they actually go into the lair battle. And Michelle says, it's our time to go. And I'm just like, bad word choice, Michelle. So that's, I don't think that's how she meant it, but I'm just like,
no, not.
I'm like, this is the worst foreshadowing ever.
Yeah. But then like you were talking about before, like last episode, Huey became like Superman. He was the Hulk tonight.
He was. And as much as you would think that, you know, Michelle, who's a beast and Corey's a beast versus Amber B and Huey would be a mismatch.
So
the size difference of Corey L and Michelle was the difference.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, the fact that Amber B's a taller girl on the cast and like a similar height to Huey, I think it was a huge difference maker. Yep. It's just like, because you're not having to just because you're already having to level off going through all these like
every obstacles. You're leveling off every foot.
Yeah. And honestly, I think this isn't a challenge for a big guy. Like Corey's at a disadvantage in this challenge, even if he has like a normal size or not normal size, but someone similar height to him.
Yep.
He's too bulky for this type of challenge where you need to be a little bit more nimble and flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
this would be a good one for. Do you think Tommy Sheehan would have done good in a challenge like this?
No.
Nope.
There's no one tall enough for him.
It's not made for tall people.
He would have been with Big T.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, him and Big T would have done worse than Coryell and Michelle, and they didn't do bad.
No, they didn't.
They caught up at the end.
Yeah.
They did.
But so, how about Huey having a huge lead and deciding to stop to be like, "Let me talk shit."
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. Like, are you kidding me? That'd be like, I always go back to Survivor. Imagine if someone's doing a challenge and then starts getting in a verbal fight against someone that they're
on the other tribe.
Yeah, it's just like,
who gives a fuck?
This is a fucking competition. A lot is at stake.
Yeah.
Leave that shit at the door and talk shit after it.
Yes.
Yeah, but this kid, Huey, he's like a little chihuahua. He's just like, oh, there's someone over there. I need to yell. I'm going to yell at that person. Like, I'm going to stop focusing on what I need to focus and focus on this other thing because it's a shiny object and I am very much wanting to yell.
But
at
what I do like is that his partner says, dude, look at me.
Yeah.
Stop. Focus and fucking. And so she had to kick his ass in gear. So
yeah, yeah. So and for Michelle and Corey L, their carabiner gets stuck, and that sucks. So I mean,
that them's the breaks.
I think they were kind of yelling at production, and production's like, sorry.
Yeah. And like I believe Huey when Huey was saying mine got stuck too, we were able to get unstuck. And obviously Michelle and Coryell were eventually able to get unstuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, right. That's when you just jerk that shit just as hard as you fucking can and fucking hope for the best. So
right.
And hope it doesn't get it more stuck, which apparently it did.
Yeah. So Huey wins, and then immediately.
Well, Huey drops the key.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But is able to do the splits and retrieve the key. Mm-hmm. So, and so Amber and Huey win, and holy moly, we get a from Amber B, fuck Big Brother. From Huey, fuck you, you fake bastard, to Coryell. Mm-hmm. and then TJ calls him out. He says, you know, the women won with grace. And I was like, well, Amber B did say fuck Big Brother. So,
but like they curse, like you're allowed to curse and do that stuff. But like when you're trying to get into a physical altercation, TJ is not about it.
So how physical do you think? I mean, cause like, you know, he said he put his hands on him. I didn't really just, I mean,
it was a shove.
He's a big fucking guy. He's a big guy.
Yeah, like a shove from a big dude to a smaller dude is kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like a shove in this game, like if guys are shoving at each other, that's enough for that production to make a decision to be like, yeah, you're gone from this season. Like if you weren't in an elimination, if you were in a house like shoving people, like you're gone.
Did you like security coming out, Matt?
I did. There's a guy with a big ass beard. They got their fucking masks on. I was like, holy fuck. Because it's like, you don't really see that like, on Survivor, like let's say like Big Gravedigger James versus Johnny Fairplay, like get in your face. It's like I would hope production would intervene.
Well, when Rupert it was choking me, like you know, like I'm looking and production's like, you know, if he goes unconscious, we'll do something. And I'm like, why did I go unconscious?
Yeah, I think MTV. You know, when you're on Survivor, there's really not big bodyguard dudes on standby.
And those big bodyguards, they're at the club because they're drinking and getting fucked up.
Yeah.
So fights happen there.
Yeah. So there's definitely
they're everywhere.
Protocol.
They're in the house. Like I mean, you see it, like they're just around the house ready. Yeah. So because these guys are much more adrenaline fueled than any other reality competition show.
And this is a younger, I imagine the challenge is a younger demo. Cause like, as I'm watching it, I'm used to watching Survivor and the strategy. And like, this is like mixing, you know, the partying aspect and younger testosterone driven shit. So I think definitely having the bouncer guys be a part of this is pretty fucking smart.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and, Coryell feels bad and, but they're eventually they're good. They hug, and Emmanuel comes down and gives Michelle a kiss, and then goes back up and yells that he loves her, and she shoots him a heart back.
Mm-hmm. I like that dude. He seems super fucking cool, and I know he's got to be bummed that Michelle Fitzgerald's gone. Michelle's beautiful, she's fucking cool, and the love of his life has now left the fucking game, and she's not happy about it. She's very devastated.
It's the first time she's lost in a reality show.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, didn't get to the end.
Yeah. I mean, cause she made it to the end on Winners at War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
But like, do you guys think, even though they're only out, they're both gone by episode 4, it's a 19 episode season. Do you think they, based off the edit, at least, do you think they see something in Coryell and Michelle where they're like, if we're trying to find people to come back for the next season, there are two people that are on the list.
Now. Michelle definitely get. I mean, like you had Tori basically say that she's like one of the toughest competitors in the history of the challenge.
And she seems very well liked by the cast.
Yeah, and TJ Levin straight up says, "I hope to see you." I don't know if he says that to everybody, but he acted like.
No, he does not say that to everybody.
He does. Okay, well, I noticed him say, "I hope to see you guys come back to play the challenge." So
on All Stars, he says, "Hope to see you never."
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right, because like he does say to Coryell, like, "If I ever see you do that again, you're done."
Yeah,
but like he's already leading the challenge, so you wouldn't be saying that unless you're thinking this guy is someone that we're going to bring back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because like he's the size of Nam, but he actually has like personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I cast Coryell over Nam all day long.
Oh yeah, I think Coryell's very charismatic. He was just in a rough spot this season. I feel like put him on another season, and now he has like the credibility.
Yeah, And I think if he does okay on his next season, I think he gets brought back a third season. He's a vet. He does great.
Yeah, we need a rival season. Get him paired up with Huey.
Oh, I'm for that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a fun team.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all about that. So it's now timed for our winners, Amber B and Huey. They can stay with their partner, or they can steal a partner, or they can take the and Ashley. Look, no.
I love you, but no.
No, do not. And Huey makes a random choice with Nani. And I think that's a good move for him, because I think Huey needs someone that will pat him on the head, that will calm down the chihuahua, and that is socially aligned with pretty much everyone.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there is a right partner for Huey on this cast.
I think there's wrong partners.
Oh, there's definitely wrong partners, but I mean, like, I get it. Like, people said, like, oh, Nine was a great partner with Josh, but that was because they were friends outside the show before they were ever partners. Like, she is usually someone who needs a support system from her partner, not being the one to give support. Yeah. So we'll see. It's an interesting pick. You could have made worse picks, though.
You know what? I was just thinking, the fact that you can, like, swap partners and things like that, and then compete in challenges with different partners, you have a choice. I think that is a cool concept, because in Survivor, we all, like, you are bound to your tribe. I do a tribe swap, I'm stuck with fucking Philip Shepherd and a bunch of weak people, and I'm like, fuck, we're fucked. But to be able to have a choice, that is fucking cool. Like, I would love to see in Survivor, dude, if, like, you were, like, able to have a fucking choice, right? Yeah. Like, in, like, an individual immunity where you could be like, hey, I want to pair up. I want to change it up and switch it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No Hype Network. Whoa, you can mutiny on Survivor. That's only happened a couple times. It's not this is like, say you're watching last episode and you're just like, oh, you know, like I just don't think it's fair with this person, you know, it's just like, oh, the season's going to suck. Fast forward two episodes. This thing is totally different.
That's what I really enjoy, that it keeps it fresh, because as we're doing on our Patreon side, Fair Play, we're watching the Australian Survivor from 2018. It's champions versus contenders. Champions have decimated the contenders, so it's like predictable. It's like, god, every fucking episode is the same. They're getting decimated. So in the challenge, the fact that they switch it up, I feel, makes a better game. It makes it more unpredictable. It makes it fresh, and it makes it like, oh, that person has a fucking chance now.
As long as they don't have to get TJ's skull to. That's right. This is so much better than last season. Yeah. Like, just.
Yeah, I think it's a good concept. I see some people complaining about it, like, oh, it makes it so hard for them to edit a show, or like put thought and care into like the teams. But I'm like, I'm not here for the teams. I'm here for like their individual games. And this makes this game, even though you're partnered, an individual game. And I love it. I think it makes more complexity, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I like it too. And you're talking from someone that's a newbie viewer of the challenge. So I'm stoked on it.
And so now it's Amber B's turn to choose her partner. And number one draft pick goes Devin again. And this is a smart move, because this puts Gabo with, well, it results with Josh with Ashley, another veteran team. We have Amber with Devin, who's a veteran team, and it leaves two rookies sitting out there with their dicks in the wind with Gabo and Emmy, and they're obviously going to be the deliberations vote next week.
Yeah, and obviously I think also from Josh's perspective, because really you could have taken any male veteran, but he trusts Devin and he trusts Amber B. He's now in a faction, like factioned off from Fessy, who knows, with Casey. So he's like, let me pair up Amber with someone I trust.
Yeah.
And now we have another group.
Yeah. And I love the combo of Ashley with Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they'll work well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Josh is underrated. Like he's not the best in eliminations, but like he does pretty decent in like their daily challenges.
He does, he does. And listen, I think we have a more focused Josh. As I said, like, you know, tonight's outburst. A lot of people looking for the Josh outburst. We got it, but it's okay because right. You know
he goes a little over the top.
It came from the right place.
But I'm like, I understand he's like having verbal shit with Fessy, but then he like. Gets down and like walks up right in front of him. Like, is that his kind of typical attitude?
Well, because he knows there's security there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, overall, great episode, man. I'm stoked to see where we go from here.
Awesome. So I'm excited. Next week looks fucking badass again.
And I think like, we heard an ambulance like at the back end of that.
So. Yeah, we see an ambulance. So I am ready for it. Guys, please click like, share, do all those things. And we got a couple ad spots running right here. And you know what? Fuck it. No more ads. We're going to go live in 2 minutes over on just check right back here. Same network. And we're going to talk season 41, Yellow Tribe. Here we go.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.